Alright, so we are in the beginning of Siman Reish Mem Tes. We got started with some of this last week, and we made a comment that is here in the Piskei Psachim Tshuvos, and I became more and more suspicious of it as I was just working on this today's year, and I actually called someone about it and confirmed my suspicions that the Shulchan Aruch here. Yeah, okay. The Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch itself. So in Reish Mem Tes Sif Aleph, it says the Shir Nisinasa im Yodam Aseges Kifi Tzorach Aniyim. The amount that one should give, if they're able to, should be the amount that the Aniyim need. The main Yodam Aseges Kol Kach Yitein Archomish. If you can't, if you're not going to be able to support everything, well, Yodam Aseges is what they need, meaning what the Ani needs. So you give whatever they need. And if you're not able to give everything that they need, right, so Yitein, then you give up to a fifth of your nechasim, mitzvah min amuvchar. That's the ideal. The achad me'asara midu benonis. And giving midu me'asara, that is the benonis. Pachos v'kan, less than that, ayin ra is bad. So v'chomish zesha amru shana rishon me'akar mikav eilach chomish sharviach b'chol shana v'shana. So that chomish which we commented on, so that's in the first year. Then you would give in the first year you would give a fifth of all of your assets. But from then onwards, you only give of you're only mechuyev to give of what comes in. You're only mechuyev to give as to what the addition is over the course of that year. Now there is a the Pesachim Tshuvos here. The Ramah gets more into this issue, but just to get out of the way, the Pesachim Tshuvos made the point that this is not talking about Meiser Ksafim. We said this last week. It's not talking about Meiser Ksafim. This is talking about a chiyuv when a person comes to you. If a person comes to you and needs something, so then you would have to go to this amount, which explains the Machaber's language that, like, it doesn't seem to like, oh yeah, if you give a tenth, that's like okay. It's not like that's not so impressive. As opposed to, he claims, what Meiser Ksafim is that you separate a tenth, and then that's designated for tzedakah. Meaning here, what the Mechaber is talking about is when a need comes up. But if a need doesn't come up, so what do you do with all that money? You keep it, right? There's not necessarily one to distribute to. Our minug of Meiser Ksafim is to separate stuff in order to give Meiser Ksafim. I'm going to designate X amount, and I'm going to pursue tzedakos to give that out to. So that, he suggests, is not actually mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. So what gets confusing here in the Ramah, it's clear, and the Nosei Kehim seem to use the language of Meiser. Actually, the Ramah himself mentions Meiser. So I didn't quite get what he was talking about. So actually, I spoke to one of my rabbis today about a different topic, and I just asked him, by the way, this the beginning of Siman Reish Mem Tes, what do you make of that? So he said, well, read for me what it says in Shulchan Aruch. I read for him. He's like, I don't know, it sounds like Meiser Ksafim to me. That sounds like the din. So I think what we might just say is that the times have changed. That in these when Shulchan Aruch was talking about. So, you had a chiyuv to give, people came to your house, and if you didn't, so then, okay, so there's nobody to give to. It's not that you necessarily go and pursue people to give, and I guess going and pursuing people to give would be a midas chasidus. However, nowadays, plenty of people are showing up asking for money. It doesn't require very much effort to find people to give money to. We are constantly have requests for people to give tzedakah to. So therefore, it's shifted. It's no longer like a midas chasidus to pursue. Now it's just nobody pursues anybody in order to give tzedakah, to find someone to give tzedakah to. People are always being pursued. So the halachos just seem to have, like, merged together. It's a little hard to, in today's day and age, to make a distinction and say, oh, Shulchan Aruch is when someone comes to your door. Or, well, what about if you get a letter? Or what about if you get a phone call? Or what about if you read an ad in the newspaper? Right? So, is that what this, where do all these fit in? Like, it's just, you know.
So what about the one-fifth then?
Right, so one-fifth one could set, well, you mean why is one-fifth considered mitzvah?
Well, it says that you should give, it's a mitzvah.
The mitzvah minimum of course to give a fifth.
So a guy shows up, you give him a fifth.
Right.
So you made 50,000, you give him 10,000.
No.
Say another guy shows up.
Oh, so that we mentioned at the end of last week. So that is in the beginning of Simin Reishnut. In the beginning of Simin Reishnut, it comments that you're not the one necessarily, by the Ramah, in the beginning of Reishnut, and says, you're not the one that's responsible to give to him everything. That's a chiyuv on the tzibur. That's a chiyuv on the gabbai tzedakah. Right? But it's not going to be, the first guy who comes to your door, that's not going to be the din. I remember when I became the rabbi in Phoenix, about a month in, a guy walks in and writes me a check for $5,000. So here, this should take care of your tzedakah fund for a little bit. Okay, what do I do now? I remember calling someone, okay, all of a sudden, there's $5,000 in my tzedakah fund. What does that mean? It's like, well, the first, what it doesn't mean is, the next ani that comes into your office, he gets to buy that. No, that's not what it means. All right. It needs seichel, but it's
it's calculated what the
so the fifth would be the same thing. Back to Reishman test. The first time you do it is you take a fifth of whatever you have. If you want to do the mitzvah of chor, you would take a fifth of whatever you have, and from then on, it's about assets coming in.
I understand it, but the business about the community being responsible. So how do you assess how much they can contribute to the community pool?
I think there's some democracy there, or I'm not sure democracy is the right word. Someone comes to town. There's a need in the neighborhood. So who decides who gives a fifth? Who decides who gives a tenth? Who does that kind of thing?
Yeah, okay, that's a good paraphrasing of the question.
You probably can't force people to give more than a tenth. That's what I would suggest. But a fifth is l'chatchila. All right. So a couple of issues. There are a couple of issues regarding this. First of all, regarding the cheshbon. So there is the Piskei Tshuva here raises the following thing. He said, right. So you figure out how much profit you had that year, right? So that sounds simple enough. Says the Piskei Tshuva, whoa, v'im ha'yelo be'isik echad revach v'isik achar hefsid. So wait a second. Let's say you have two businesses, right? One business you make money, and one business you lose money. So how does that work? So I am here Ethan Shel Rav Marvin Shikasa Bishim Sharafrayim, Shim Bishasha Hayalo Hefsid, Hayalo Cheshbon, Shahayalo Hefsid, Vimkein Mashahayalo Ravach Acharkach, Hu Inyan Acher. He says, well, says, let's say you establish that you have a loss first, right? You have two businesses. You sell a sorghum on Sukkot, and then you sell shmura matzah on Pesach, right? So you lose money selling. You bought too many sorghum that year, so you lose $1,000 in your sorghum deals. But then comes Pesach, so then you make $2,000, right? So the question of the Piskei Tshuva is, all right, so do you take Meiser off of $1,000, or somehow would you have to take Meiser off of $2,000? So the Piskei Tshuva says, well, what happened first? So if you lost the Asurgim Sukkot time, so now, what's your Stucker responsibility at that point? Right? You're negative $1,000 for the year. So what's your Stucker responsibility?
Zero.
Right? It's not, right? It's zero. So now that wipes out that loss. That's it, right? So I sit down to do my cheshbon. How much money have I made so far? Well, no money. Oh, okay. So now I cross everything off. Comes Pesach time, says the Sharaf Rabbi, you make $2,000. So what's Meiser of $2,000? He says, $200. He says, that's what your chiyuv would be. That's what the Shar Ephraim here suggests. Shim b'shasha hayelu hefsed hayelu cheshbon, shayelu hefsed v'im kein, ma shayelu revach achar kach u'inyan achir, right? That you made a profit afterwards, that's something else. V'inu m'malei ha-revach es hefsed. The revach doesn't fill up for the hefsed. Aval im lo hayelu cheshbon ad tom ha-shana, but if you don't make the cheshbon until the end of the year, v'chashav kol cheshbon es ha-revach v'hefsed. It's therefore in your full cheshbon, you put everything together. Mikol ha-shana, az imali hefsed min ha-revach, asish. I guess Ayin Sham.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah, Ayin Sham. So then, if you wait to do your whole cheshbon, so then you're gonna. Well, I lost $1,000 here. I made $2,000 there. So therefore, my profit for the year is $1,000. So that's the sheet of the Shar Ephraim. So would you take into account businesses where you lost money? It says depends. If you do that cheshbon on its own, no, it wouldn't count against your profit from another business. But if it all gets put together, so then you would do it that way. And he says, similarly, the Chavos Yair writes that as well. But then he says, look at the Nod de Yehuda. And Simon, what does it say about you? Kuftzadi, you know what Simon does it say? Kuftzadi Ches. Right. It says Kuftzadi Dalad. So, The only reason I found it is because I'll show you how I found it. He says Shalom Pasakain. He doesn't pass it away. Elima Revach VeHefsid Hay B'Shana Achas Liolam. He says no, it's all based on the year. Yinaka Zeh B'Zeh Aval B'Shtei Shanim Lo Yinaka. But from 2 years you can't deduct. You can't say, well, I lost $1,000 in year one and I made $2,000 in year two. All right, so I'm going to deduct one off the other. So that you can't do. But within 1 year, it's going to work. Vayin Sham B'Hagav Mi Ben HaMachaber Vayin O B'Shuvas Chutshani. So that's how, the only reason I was able to find what Shuvah this was, because there's the Hagos, there's like in my edition of the New Devi Yehuda that I have at home, there's like there's a couple of Shuvahs that have like a little insert Hagah something. So I just looked in the pages around and saw one had a Hagah. That's how I was able to find it. But otherwise, I wouldn't have had a chance. What?
This year we're talking about, is that a Tishrei year?
So what does the Hagah say? Right? What does his son who's filling in the Hagah say? He says, by the way, where did my father come up with the year from? Like, why? What does the year have to do with anything? So he said, because the whole premise of giving Meiser Tzedakah, Meiser Ksafim, is based off of real Meiser, giving Meiser Ani or Meiser Sheni, etc. So he says, so you would follow that calendar. That's a 1 year calendar, so you would follow that calendar. Which I'm not sure what the calendar is. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Tishrei.
I think it is Tishrei. I think that's what he meant. Fine, Ben HaMachar, fine. And then he says also, so that's issue one, about the deducting one business off of another. And then he says, okay. He says, V'chasav Od. This is another issue. This is a bigger issue. You skip a line or two. He says, V'chasav Od B'mos Nedunya. What about a Nedunya? What's the issue about a Nedunya? Shenoagim ha'avos l'chalei kamaser kafi ha'yashar b'neihem shaper avdi v'abanim yotzim b'zeh. He says, what's going on here? He says, parents make a lot of money, and they're good erlichal people, and they take off maaser k'saf of their entire career. Right? Then they marry off their daughter, and they give a Nedunya of $10,000. So do you have to take maaser off of that Nedunya?
Out of dowry?
Off a dowry, right. Mm-hmm. A dowry. So do you have to take Meiser off of that Nedunya? That's the Shaila that he's raising here. So,
with the daughter and son-in-law.
With the daughter and son-in-law, because they just got this money. Right? So, right, and on the other hand, they got this money, so they have to take Meiser off the money. On the other hand, it's been Meisered already. The same thing would be by Bar Mitzvah money if everybody took off Meiser Ksafim, right? It would be the same type of thing. Yeah?
But is it not so that the giver of the Nedunya, right, these are adult children.
Right.
That could be used as his Meiser money to give to support his adult daughter who's now getting married.
Okay, maybe. That's a different topic, but yeah.
So that's, right?
Maybe. That's an issue. Perhaps you can. That's later in this year and probably next year. Just the technical issue of the double Meiserim. Can you say, oh, this money was Meisered already, so now it's there's no issue no matter where it goes? Like you say the same thing if it's sold. If somebody takes off Meiser the money, then they buy mezuzahs from me. So can I say, oh, well, they bought all this money. The money's already Meisered, so I don't have to worry about that anymore. Right, so that doesn't seem to be...
Pre-Meiser money.
Right, so the pre-Meiser money. Right, it's like you don't... I don't take credit cards, and I only take pre-Meisered money, right? Can you make that argument? So he says no, right? That they good, and the banim are yotzim b'zayidei chavasa. That in this scenario they would be yotze. They marvichim b'kach, and they could like make money off of that. She'eno nikva b'chova lahafrish meiser mikan ve'elach. Right? It's not established that they have to take meiser from here and onwards. Ilu asukei mi'atzmam nase neder. I guess they would be making a neder. Miu hani mili kisha avus mischayav v'mayus miusarim. Avali mechnisu stam kach v'kach maus lahazug v'achar kach b'yigiyaz manachasana notlan ha-maiser yishlamer de'ein z'chus la'avus v'maiser. He says that's only if it was actually pre-maisered money. But what if they gave the money to the kids and then at the end of the year they made their cheshbon how much money came in and they took off maiser off of whatever came in, including the money that they gave to the kids, but they had already given it to the kids a couple months earlier. He says, no, that wouldn't work. In that case, the kids are getting non-pre-Meisered money, and then they would have to take it off themselves. And the business alone, Pesach Tshuva, much of it discussing this issue.
But if the 10,000 of the Nedunya was part of their calculations and their total profit for the year, and then
yeah,
money's money.
Right. So if you
had the maser from other. Yeah, as long as the 10,000 was in.
Right, so if they had the kavanah beforehand, right, so the Aruch HaShulchan says, yeah, and it says if they had the kavanah beforehand, that would be okay, and it says, and the Aruch HaShulchan says, and that was the minuk. Like, I'm not sure how you make that assessment, but that was the minuk, that people would give off their money to the children, and the children would assume that they wouldn't have to take Meisr off of it. Okay, so that is the issue in the Mechaber here. So then the Rama makes this comment. He says, "Va'al yivazvez adam yosr michomish shelo yitzarech lebrios." Now, a person should not spend more than a fifth. They shouldn't spend more than a fifth, so that they would not be mitzarech lebrios, that they wouldn't need help from other people. I mean, the circle changes, and maybe they'll need help. So therefore, they shouldn't take off more than a fifth in order to avoid that issue. This is v'dafka kol yimei chayiv. This is only during their life. Aval b'sham. So at the time of their death, so yachal adam litin tzedaka komashir. So a person could give as much tzedaka as they want. Meaning they could set up their entire inheritance to be for tzedaka. So there's two relevant, as far as I know, it's in all of Shas, there's two, I'm not sure, but as far as I know, there's two sugyas that are relevant here. Number one is that the Shulchan Aruch says, is that there is a Mishnah that says by Yerusha that if that a person, whatever a person decides to not give to their children, just give it all to somebody else, so lo tov hemos, they didn't do the right thing, but like that would be chal in theory. That's one thing which is relevant here. And then the other thing that is relevant here and more relevant here is that the Gemara quotes a story about Mar Ukva Hudai, one of the Amorayim here. Where was it? Oh, I didn't write it down. It's in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef quotes the story from, there it is. Right, as Mar Ukva did at the time of his death, that he said, it sounds like he took off half. From our edition of the Gemara, it says he took off half of his money and gave it to Tzedaka, and the other half he gave to his children. He said, look, I need some schusim going forward. So he said, like, half for me and half for them. That was his cheshbon. So this idea of not saying more than a fifth could be when a person passes away, they could set more than that in their will. The Avas Chesed suggests, yeah, you could give up to a third or up to a fifth. Where does he get up to a third from? Up to a third is, of course, that's the other Girsa in that Gemara. There's another Girsa in the Gemara that says that he gave away a third of his money. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that you could give him up to a half, and like that would make sense because that way, you know, you could use some of it for your own merits. So I don't know if that was the minhag, but that's the Aruch HaShulchan said. Up to a fifth, one could give away tzedaka out of their wills. The other issue with regards to not giving more than a fifth, whenever Rav Schechter would quote this, he would say, yeah, that's only a fifth if a person doesn't have much money, but if you have plenty of money and you really don't have to worry about it, so you could even give more than a fifth. And add in, like, I get a nice salary from yeshiva and I'm fine, so I get all some money from speaking, so that I don't really need that money. I have an apartment and, you know, my wife has a car, that's really all we need. So I give plenty more than a fifth of my money to tzedaka. That's interesting. So I thought that was a din. That's and the Avas Chesed does quote that. I'm not even sure that Avas Chesed quoted it, but that's quoted by plenty. There it is. Yeah, the Avas Chesed does quote it. The Avas Chesed from the Chafetz Chaim says that if a person has plenty of money, they're an usher muflag, they're very clearly a wealthy person, so they could give away more than a fifth. So I never knew that there was anybody that disagreed with that till today. Apparently Rav Moshe disagrees with it. Rav Moshe is a tshuva. I forgot, I meant to bring in the Igros Moshe, but Rav Moshe is a tshuva, Yuradei, Achelik Aleph, Simin, Kuf, Mem, Gimel, where Rav Moshe says that no, you're not allowed to give more than a fifth. That's the takana of the Gemara. It's a takanas usha. Takana means, right, that's the rule. So what gives you the right to go ahead and break the rule? He says,
talking about live people, because Mar Ukva did it when he died.
Right, except for when you die, so that's an explosive Gemara. But in terms of a person that's alive, they're not allowed to give more than a fifth. That's the rule, and that's actually the Takana. A Takana, the Rabbi Rekefet points out, so what's the difference? And as I go through Shas, I try to plug this in, make sure it's right. What's the difference between a Gezerah and a Takana? Have you thought about this? What's the difference between the Gezira and the Takana? Right? They both sound like the same thing, right?
I think one of them is a preventative thing. Don't do this.
Yeah.
And the other one is more of a constructive thing that we're.
I think they both could have. What's the Kanazusha is don't give more than a fifth. Right? He says, Gezeras make you more from, Takanos make you less from. That's his line. Not necessarily make you. Gezeras are, you know, all these Gezeras about Shabbos, we're going to be more from, and we're not going to do things which otherwise would have done, like Gezera, unless I go and shake the coals or something like that.
Okay.
Right? What's Takana Susha? I would give more tzedakah, but the rabbi said, no, you're not going to give more tzedakah. Rabbi Rakefa, that's his distinction.
So the principle is the Takana.
Right, the principle is a takana, right? What is the takana? The takana is a principle that in theory we should do shmitas ksafim, but you know, what can we do? We're not, so we're going to be attacking the idea of a principle.
Makes sense.
So what's the thing about marrying more than one wife?
That's a chair. When I heard this, my mind went right there also. I'm like, what do we call that? Yeah. Like, oh yeah, it's a chair. Oh, well, that doesn't fit into the rule. Yeah.
But what about the takana about not opening mail? I thought that was a takana.
That's the same thing. That's also part. It's part of the chair of the Rabbeinu Gershom.
That's right.
The same thing.
Right.
Yeah. So all right. So keep that in mind as you look, continue to learn the difference between a gezeira and a takana. So that's what Moshe says. Moshe says that's the takana. So I happened to have this past Shabbos. I had the bar mitzvah at the Chabad over there. So I knew I'd have plenty of time. So I brought the Meiser Ksufim book here to read, and I was flipping through it, and it came across. For the following, I don't know what this is. This happens to be in our library. I have no idea where this showed up from, but it's like a group in England, but like some kind of chabur, like a group of people.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a book. He's a professor of some sort.
Yeah, it seems like an interesting group of people got together. Asked Shilas of an interesting group of people. So he has here. Where do I have it? Oh no, did I not? I must have written. Where's the page 36? Okay. So he has here that Rav Tendler informed us of the following discussion with Rav Moshe that he maintains this view for